Lying at the eastern end of the Himalayan Plateau, the Yunnan province of southwestern China is renowned both for its natural beauty and the rich diversity of the cultural traditions that exist there. Nestled in a quiet valley just north of Shangri-La, the Tibetan village of Nishi is the center of one of those traditions, that of blackware pottery. Tibetan blackware pottery has a tradition going back thousands of years. The village's current master potter, Sun Nuo Zilin, and his son, Luo Song Enchu, are the eighth and ninth generations, respectively. This is the family, along with Amo, the wife and mother, that invited us to document this ancient traditional art form. Traditions run deep in Nishi, and Amo is a good example of this. Her duties within the family are many and strenuous. She weaves scarves and blankets on a traditional backstrap loom. The far side of the loom is attached to the wall, while Amo sits on the floor on the other side of the loom to work. She also feeds the family animals who reside in the courtyard of the house. This menagerie consists of a dog, who is also the doorbell, alerting the family when visitors arrive, a cow, several pigs, and a few chickens that wander in and out. The animal's fodder is gathered from the surrounding fields, and water is taken from a small, naturally occurring, manipulated stream which runs through the village. This water is used for everything: cooking, cleaning, and personal hygiene. There are about 30 families in the village, and two-thirds of them engage in pottery making. These other potters are either related to the master or are former students and apprentices of his. It takes 4 to 6 years to become a fully trained potter. As a result, those who choose or are chosen to become potters usually start with a master at age 12. It is still exclusively male, although the master did say he would not turn away a girl. It's just that none have yet asked. One of the most important traditions associated with the blackware pottery is that of making one's own tools. Enchu said that if you cannot make your own tools, you are not fit to become a potter. This style of pottery is not constructed on a wheel. Rather, it is hand-built on bats, two convex slabs of wood. The most basic shape is a small teapot. This shape must be mastered first. Zilin's grandson, Luo Song Chipao, is at this first stage of attempting to master the most basic form. Once the small teapot has been mastered, all the other shapes and vessels can be achieved. Here, Enchu works on the same shape, but with much more knowledge and economy of effort. He can produce as many as 8 in an 8-hour session. The potters will carve traditional Tibetan motifs into the soft clay, designs that range from simple lines to more complex symbols and letters. Along with these small teapots, the master and his son produce larger and more elaborately decorated yak butter teapots. Only 2 of these pots can be produced during an 8-hour workday. Enchu begins the butter teapot by making a circular slab for the base. This is achieved by pounding a ball of clay flat with a hammer-like tool called a mu chui. Next, a rectangular slab is constructed using the same tool and technique. Once flattened, the slab is cut into a rectangular shape. These two slabs are then connected, forming the bottom and lower walls of the pot. The next step is shaping the pot at the base. This is done with the use of a paddle and spinning the pot on the bat, thus creating a kind of rudimentary wheel. This technique will be employed throughout the entire construction process. Once the basic shape is achieved, the decoration of the vessel is attended to. Bits of fired porcelain are added to the clay surface. The porcelain is recycled from old china, broken into appropriately sized pieces by the family members. After the porcelain is added, more shaping is required before Enshu can move on to the next part of the vessel. But he always has time to teach his young apprentice. After a few moments of tutoring, Enshu goes back to his own work. The next step is the construction of the neck. This is done with the same rectangular slab technique. The slab is then manipulated into a cylindrical shape and attached to the base. The neck then undergoes more paddling to correctly shape the form. This step concludes with the addition of more decorative porcelain pieces. A lip is then added to the top of the neck, using the very same process with which the neck was attached to the body. Once the lip is shaped, the neck is inscribed with more decorative touches. As soon as the decoration is complete, the spout must be attached. The first step is the placement of the spout. Once the desired location has been found, a hole is cut through the main body of the pot. The spout is another clay slab rolled into a cylinder. The spout is then attached to the body of the pot. After the spout is attached, it must be reshaped. This is done using a smaller, more delicate paddle. The next item is the handle. The handle is shaped, scored, and attached on the opposite side of the pot. Then reworked using both a paddle and some hand-shaping techniques. To strengthen, and as an additional decorative touch, a bridge is attached between the spout and the main body of the pot. Once attached, the bridge is finally sculpted. The decoration of the bridge is the beginning of more elaborate surface decoration of the pot. This is done by both adding and subtracting elements. The spout takes on the form of an elephant. Elephants are important symbols within the Tibetan culture because it is believed that they provide the transportation from this life into the next. The base is kept wrapped in plastic to keep the clay malleable for further shaping. The decoration takes much time and effort. Although no two teapots are identical, the potters of Nishi do strive for consistency. On the other side of the vessel, the handle is decorated with the shape of a Ti Lin, a creature that has the body of a horse and the head of a dragon. The Ti Lin is a symbol of prosperity in Tibetan culture. The final addition is the lid. A small slab is produced, then formed around a mold. A handle is added to the top of the lid, which is then finalized and, of course, decorated. The various pieces are then dried in the sun, followed by a stint next to the open fire, which is the stove. Finally, they are placed in racks above the living area to finish drying. Once they are completely dry, the firing process can commence. Master Chi Lin sets up a wood base on a pile of ash just outside the courtyard of his home. The base is then stacked from the inside out with the pots and vessels to be fired, starting with the largest piece, a hot pot, in the center. The pieces are carefully stacked one on top of another, intermixed with pieces of firewood. The next vessels stacked up are the soup pots and the butter teapots. After the large teapots, the smaller teapots are stacked on the base and around the large pots. More wood is added, and then the lids are slipped into the stack. As soon as the pottery is appropriately stacked and covered with wood, the ash around the base must be cleared away. More tinder is added, including straw and wood chips. The master then lights a handful of tinder and ignites the base. Dry brush found around the home is added to the fire, and Enchu and Lu Song attempt to unify the heat. The wood burns hot and fast, so the potters must continually feed the fire. Long poles are used to shift the unburned pieces of wood to the top of the fire. The fire must not burn too hot. If the temperature is too low, the pottery will be weak. If the temperature is too hot, the pottery will warp. The target is 800 degrees centigrade. The master gauges this by the color of the flame. Once the flame is bright red, the vessels have reached the appropriate temperature. The main fire is covered with sawdust and then with ash, which produces the blackening of the surface. After the first reduction, the fire is tended to, removing some vessels to observe the status. Another layer of sawdust and ash are soon added. Enchu checks and cleans the lids of the hot pot. Oh, As the fire burns out, Enchu removes the vessels from the ashes. This is done with the same long pole that he used to tend the fire. The hot vessels are then delivered to the master. Because these pots are unglazed and used as dinnerware, they must be treated. The master uses a mixture of barley powder and yogurt whey. This solution detoxifies and seals the porous surface inside the pots. The solution is transferred from piece to piece as they arrive at the master. During this process, the potters search for any imperfections or flaws on the fired pieces. When all the pieces have been cleansed and sealed, they are allowed to cool in the open air. There's always some. The final step before the pieces can be sold is polishing. Each piece is carefully rubbed down with a rag and inspected thoroughly for any flaws. These beautiful products are then offered for sale locally or transferred to nearby village shops, such as those in the old town sections of Shangri-La and Lijiang. China's rapid modernization is dramatically changing the natural and social landscape of the country. One result is increased accessibility to what were once remote regions. In Nishi, this has created an increased demand for traditional blackware pottery. As a consequence, the integrity of the traditional forms are threatened. The master's 12-year-old grandson is beginning a traditional apprenticeship, and one wonders, who will his apprentices be? In 1932, with the world on the brink of another huge transformation, the Greek poet George Sepphoris wrote these lines, which seem appropriate. What can a flame remember? If it remembers a little less than is necessary, it goes out. If it remembers a little more than is necessary, it goes out. If only it could teach us, while it burns, to remember correctly. There are times when I have the impression that I've reached the limit, that everything's in its place, ready to sing together in harmony, the machine on the point of starting. I can even imagine it in motion, alive, like something unexpectedly new.
Lama.